if you're a Ravens or 49ers fan, man, you are excited. I think I speak for the rest of us that we wish the Bengals were there. Okay, I speak for Chris and I. We wish the Bengals were there. But that's all right, man. We're glad you chose LifePoint. We're going to do this series. At 6 o'clock is the kickoff for the Super Bowl, and we're going to have a great time with that. And today we're going to kick off a new series also called Go Green. And it's not a tribute to the Green Bay Packers. Sorry, Green Bay fans. But it is something that's imperative to the Christian life. And we're going to look at something that about every 30 days leaks out of us at some piece of it. And every month we begin to let certain things slip. I do. You do. I've got to grab a cough drop. Man, we have none. Okay. But from the time of any faith intersection with essentials, at any faith intersection, when you consider something, you've got about 30 days to buy into that. And then you begin to kind of think, it's not that big of a deal. And there are certain things that you're not unspiritual. It's not that Jesus doesn't love you. There are just certain things that are repetitious in our lives spiritually. And about every 30 days, we just have to be reminded of certain things. Now, to my chagrin, what we're going to look at today is one of those things that I wish I talked about more and I forget about it, because I'm living this thing and I'm kind of talking about it a lot in private, and I forget that a lot of times most people aren't in on those conversations. And so today, if you're checking Jesus out, and you know how it kind of rolls, you have this faith intersection in your life and you're suddenly like, man, I need to consider something else. I need to look at religion. I need to look at something. And you begin this journey of faith, and then you hear the message of Christ that he loves you. I mean, you're just going to church, something you've never done. You're getting out of bed on a Sunday. You're checking Jesus out. You're looking for your friend that reads the Bible all the time to ask them questions. You may even begin to read the Bible yourself. But if that faith intersection, when God reveals himself, within a month, if you don't act on that, now some people take a long time, but their action is like baby steps, which is cool too. But if you don't act in some way on information that's being fed into you deciding for Christ, after a while you just begin to sleep in, you go back to your old life, you're like, man, this didn't work for me. But there's some of us, you're believers, and you've got some tenure, you've been through a few rounds of that, and you finally came to a knowledge and faith in Christ, and you begin to do some of the things that it takes to go green. But after a while, you just, for whatever reason, man, busy schedule, just things get in the way, stuff happens that kind of rocks your boat a little bit, and what begins to take place is faith goes on the back burner, or you just kind of begin to slow down, bring them used to you, brought everybody, told everybody what God had done for you, and now it's just, you're just kind of busy. You get more frustrated the more problems you get in your life you used to help solve, but now you just seem to complain, and you notice it yourself, and it frustrates you. You used to be in a group, now you're not, you feel totally disconnected. You know, you used to feel like you were really a part of things. You reach out, used to all the time. And now you wonder, why isn't anybody reaching back? And you're kind of frustrated with that, maybe even feeling sorry for yourself. You used to confess, and rather than confess, now you complain. You used to joke and have a good time, and God was just alive in your life, and now you've begun to judge. You used to serve, and you've backed off, and now you judge other people, what they're doing. And I want you to know that about every 30 days is about right. You know, my dad had a lawn company. You may not know this, but my dad had a lawn company. When my dad started Fairway Lawn, this whole Kim Lawn kind of thing was brand new. There were two other lawn companies in all of southern Ohio, from I-70 to Kentucky, two other lawn companies besides my dad. And my dad got in on the ground level of this, and the business began to grow. And I grew up with my dad having a Kim Lawn type company. I actually learned to drive a standard shift on a ton and a half spray truck that had a split axle. Some of you guys know what that means. But I learned to drive on a standard shift on that. And my dad began to teach me the business, I think, in his mind of hopes of one day me taking over that business, which I was offered, and I never did. It wasn't my interest. But I know a lot about that world. And what I know is that seeds and weeds both germinate at about the same at the same rate. And I would treat people's lawns, and they'd have a nice lawn. They never put the pieces together. Why is this guy back every 4 to 5 weeks? Well, every 4 to 5 weeks, that grass had to be reminded to get a booster shot. Well, this is what you're supposed to be doing. And if you didn't treat the weeds, there are millions of weed seeds laying in any lawn. I used to have people say, "Will you spray theirs? I'll pay for it just so weeds won't come into my yard." What they don't realize is that had nothing to do with their lawn. The reason the weeds were kept at bay was because when those things started to germinate, up would roll one of my dad's trucks and take care of it. Now, there, you can't, if you're a Christ follower, go a month without reading the Bible. But every about 30 days, you've got to be reminded, I've got to be reminded what this thing's all about. And whether in an announcement or a song or God speaking to you personally, you've got to just be reminded. Because if you don't, the things you want to grow in your life will begin to lay dormant. And the things you don't want to take off, the weeds of life, will begin to reproduce themselves and begin to choke out the good things that God has a plan for you. So this is about keeping faith alive. So if you are not a Christ follower, what Go Green is all about is incubating your faith decisions and information until the point that thing can sprout up and bring life and you have a connection with Jesus Christ. If you are a Christ follower, it's for that faith that has been birthed in you through the love of Christ and your belief on him, that you begin to walk in that. And all the spiritual sounding stuff and all the things you hear about church and God and spirituality becomes real. To go green, we've got to begin in Acts, because that's really where the church started. And it actually started in the next chapter over, but we're going to look at Acts 1. Acts 1, check this out with me. In my former book, Theophilus, this is a guy named Luke. You've probably heard that name before. He's writing this. He said, "I wrote all about that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." What he's talking about there is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. If you're a note taker, you can look up those verses later. "After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment: 'Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?'" It's been just about that length where you've got to be reminded of faith things. Jesus told them, "I want you to know me personally. I want you to go help other people discover me. I want you to baptize them into fellowship, into a local church. I want you to teach them about me. And I want you, as they go, I want you to teach them about me. And I want you to send them back to go reach other people for me. And I want you to do that till I come." Like, all right, man, that's the mission. We're on it. We're on it. And then in just a few days, they begin to kind of look at themselves. With actually about a month, they begin to look at themselves. They're like, man, this thing's not panning out the way we hoped it would. There's some things not taking place that we think should take place. There's some situations that we would like to be in charge of, or we would like to be seeing different. And Jesus is saying, I'm gonna baptize you with the Holy Spirit. God is going to indwell you, is what he was saying. And they were like, yeah, that's cool, but, you know, are you going to overthrow Israel now? Or overthrow the Roman government? And here's what he said to them. I mean, Jesus has to get frustrated, but he's so cool. He says, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." Here's the centerpiece. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the other to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two angels dressed in white stood beside them. "Hey, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go." And then they go back to Jerusalem and they obey God. But this portion almost seems like this rallying cry Like, I was watching this thing on Walmart, and they bring in all the Walmart people to this Coliseum, and they do Walmart chants and Walmart songs and all that. And it's kind of like that minus about 40,000 people, because there's only 120 people in this situation. But it wasn't about amping them up, because we have 2,000 years of looking back of church history to see what God was really trying to define with this challenge. I mean, he brought up being global before this. There was a marketing buzz. I mean, that was the thing. When I was in manufacturing, global manufacturing, a global market, and all of this kind of stuff. Jesus was global before it was vogue. He was talking about taking his teachings to every single person on the planet. I want you to look at this with me in an older version, King James. Men of Galilee, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. This thing begins with you and I becoming a believer. Leave that verse up. But you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. These people had believed on Jesus Christ, but because Jesus had not ascended into heaven, he said in John, the Holy Spirit would come in John 14, but that would not happen until after he rose again, he went to heaven. This is right when it's about to happen. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, so get ready. Now, after you and I ask Jesus Christ in our heart, because he has ascended, immediately the Holy Spirit indwells your life. The Holy Spirit enters you. God is with you. God is in you. If you'll remember Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. But it's also God in you. God becomes a part of your life. And God says, listen, that happens the moment that you accept me as your Savior. But the big picture is this also, is that he did something that we could not do for ourselves. See, there's this facade with religion that says you can help God out. If you just think positive, or if you send good things to the world, the good things. So if I send salvation, then salvation by that philosophy should come back to me. Or if I just am reincarnated enough to pay for my own misgivings or wrongs or sins, then suddenly I can reach this state of nirvana where basically I'm snuffed out, but I don't have to keep being reincarnated. God said, I offer you something more through my Son. I offer you eternal life. Jesus died and rose again because the sin payment was too high. And he said, I'm going to pay that sin debt, and then you can simply believe that I did that and ask me to be your Savior, and I'll come into your life. And that is the dream for every person's life God has. And we try to help him, and we try to avoid it. But here's the thing. God did something for you and I we could not do for ourselves. I am so glad that belief in Christ and calling on him in belief is what makes us right with God. I'm not a rule person. If you're a rule person, that probably grates you a little bit. I'm not a big ritual person. I mess up a lot. I mess things up a lot. I get things wrong a lot. So for salvation, for a relationship with God to be based on him, I like that. Because then it requires me trusting him and him being able to do the heavy lifting that I can't do. So Jesus wants you, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, God wants you to know this, that he loved you, that Jesus died, he was buried and rose again. If you ask him into your heart and life, he immediately becomes your Savior. But what about after that? I mean, you know, Jay, because listen, I didn't grow up in church, and some of you guys didn't either. I mean, they tried to make me grow up in church, and we'll talk about that later maybe, but it didn't really take for me. And I didn't really get it, and part of that was because I wasn't in age-appropriate environment, so I tried to go to church and eat Fruity Pebbles in kindergarten with my mom because she was too afraid to put me in the kids' ministry, or I complained or whatever. And so I never got to hear about Jesus on my level. And so consequently, until my dad did what my mom wouldn't do and make me go to the kids' ministry, I never had a clear understanding of Jesus. That being said, if I were accepting Christ today, like back then, I did not know what to do with Jesus. If I looked around me and if I watched TV, I'm like, do I put a sticker, like a fish sticker on my car? Is that what I do? Or do I see that they're protesting stuff? You know, I see people protesting Disney and Kings Island. I wish some of those weird Christians would protest something helpful, like health food. I mean, that would be a blessing to me. Like, no trail mix without M&Ms. I'm like, praise God, man. That's Bible. That's Jesus stuff there. But, I wouldn't know what to do. But Acts reveals exactly what we need to do. Here's God's big plan revealed in Acts 1:8. Do God's work by God's power through God's people. This is God's plan. This is the secret revealed. Church people, this is what it's all about. Unchurched people, this is what it's about. People that are irreligious, people that are religious, people that have crossed the line of faith and belief, people that haven't, the big plan after belief is to do God's work by God's power through God's people. What is do God's work? Wow. If you step into most churches, this one gets real cloudy. This is where I feel like I failed a little bit with LifePoint. I don't talk about it enough. This is God's plan for your life as a Christ follower, to bring other people to him. Jay, I thought it was to just grow. Growth is awesome. That's what this whole series is about. I thought it was to be blessed. Being blessed is awesome. I thought it was to feel his presence. Feeling his presence is awesome. But the reason he left you here and has brought you to a local church like LifePoint is to do God's work. And God's work is to get the gospel to every person that's lived and will live and has lived, but the ones that you can reach. He said, I want you to go to all the world. He said this to 120 people, just about how many people are in this second service of adults. He said that to about this many people. Go reach the world. They're like, what? I don't even know if my grandma will buy into this. I don't even know if my friends, I don't even know what they're going to think about this. And God says, listen, I saved you to do my work. But here's the cool piece, by God's power. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So he sends the Holy Spirit, and a guy like me or a person like you says, Jesus loves people. Jesus saves people. Jesus can make the difference. Man, tell me your story. What's going on? Jesus is who changed my life. And the moment you say that, Jesus is lifted up. The Holy Spirit begins to say, that's right. That's true. You need that also. There's just maybe a thing in your heart or this beliefs. I mean, the things get kind of crossed and you're like, what? That's not what I've heard before. And it doesn't matter what you believe. You kind of start pushing back a little bit. But the Spirit begins to draw people with the message of Jesus Christ. So the message, getting the message out, it's done in God's power. If you're mega talented, that's awesome. If you're mega not talented, that's awesome. If you're an introvert, that's awesome. If you're an extrovert, that's awesome. It's about doing God's work in God's power through God's people. There's no exemption. This is the purpose of the church. This is the reason for the church. Now, Christians have come up with all kinds of ways to mess this up. They focus on a style of music. They focus on a style of clothing. They focus on some minuscule Bible passage that somebody else disagrees with. They focus on what makes them feel good, because remember, it's about 30 days if you don't act on something and that you begin to grow cold to the truth that God's trying to teach you. And so he'll try to teach you again, and he'll bring it up again in your life. But we have to stay on target with this. God's work, God's power through God's people. What about feeding people? Yeah, feeding people is great. What about clothing kids? Clothing kids is wonderful. What about adopting kids? Adopting kids, fantastic. But what we've done is sidetracked with things that we do to get the gospel out. We say, instead of getting the gospel out, because that's real uncomfortable to say Jesus is the only way, Jesus died and rose again, it's a lot easier to give out cups of water only. It's a lot easier just to build houses and get high five and look how great you are. It's a lot easier just to dig wells in Kyrgyzstan, which was one of my prayers to get to be a part of one of those teams. So I think it's uber cool. But the reason is not so people can have water. It's what's in the way. The water is in the way of the message. So if you feed someone hunger, what you're doing is you're killing the growling hunger pains so they can relax and they can hear about the love of God and not be distracted by a growling stomach. So they can quit shivering in the cold and have warm garments or appropriate garments so that they can hear about the love of Jesus Christ. But the church gets sideways. And so you have people saying it's social justice, and it's about this, and it's about this, and it's about how I feel. And then some Christians are just honest. They just vote with their feet. They sit around and wait to be blessed. It's a blessed fest. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Praise God. And then if you don't feed me, I leave. Let me tell you something. If you're a feed me person, let me help you with something. In case I don't want you to look ignorant if you say that, okay? People that leave a church because they say they're not being fed, let me tell you what that really means. That tells me you don't read your Bible, that you don't pray, that you don't spend time with Jesus. Because people that are feeding themselves, you can have a donkey on the stage, which sometimes you do, and that you will be fed spiritually. God used a donkey to help Barak understand what he needed to understand. I mean, we mess this thing up. We think it's about me getting fed and how you make me feel. God wants to remove the junk from your life. Some of you are addicted to porn, and God wants to heal you from that porn addiction. And the reason he does is so he can set you free, and you can go help other porn addicts be set free. Some of you have been locked down with spirits of sexuality and fear and rejection, and you can see it on your face. And when somebody even begins to talk about God, your body almost contorts in frustration, and you don't even know why. Because the enemy has had such a grip on your life, and God wants to heal that. God wants to remove that spirit, and he will if you ask him in Jesus' name. And he wants to do that so you can do God's work, so you can go rescue someone like you. Some of us have grown up just relationally, no clue on bonding, and God wants to teach you to love and bond so you can go love and bond and show them God's love and remove that from their life and that excuse from their repertoire and help them find Jesus Christ, getting God's work done by God's power through God's people. We come up with stuff like God's will. God's told me. And you'll hear somebody say that and you're like, okay, what did he tell you? Well, he told me that he said I need to spend more time in prayer instead of reaching out to people. Did he tell you that because you're afraid to talk to people? Yes. Okay, that's not Jesus. God told me that I need to start talking to him more, you know, whatever. God spoke to me. God told me. God showed me. If God shows you anything that goes against that, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because God saves you to do his work by his power. He does it through his people. All this preferential stuff, all of this stuff we complain about, all of this groaning and all of these suggestions without one time being a part of the solution. I love evaluation. We got some great feedback in our evaluations. Love it. We're going to change some things because of it. But you can always see the Christians that are nailed down tight to their seat and think they're God's troubleshooter for every ministry they're in. They sit there for a couple months, and then they say they're not being fed, and they bless another congregation with their presence, which I'm always glad that God blesses someone else with them instead of me. I'll probably get an email about that. It's true. Because you know what I want to pastor? I want to pastor a church that does God's work through God's power by God's people. I want to link arms with my brothers and sisters, some of whom will reach strippers, some of whom will reach orphans, some of whom will reach CEOs, some of whom will reach students, some of whom will reach salespeople, some of whom will reach tech people, and I want to link arms with them using my gifts and us walk hand in hand in the future doing God's work by God's power, not by slick anything, by God's power and us doing it together as God's people. Yeah, it's yes. That's what I want. That's what I want. And I'm being honest with you. 18 months ago, it hit me. And I will not settle for anything less. And I have watched people come and go from Life Point Church. I have watched our numbers. I don't think that a small church is a sign of spirituality. Nor do I think a large church is a sign of spirituality. I think a church that does God's work by God's power through God's people, no matter the number, is on track doing what they're called to do. And that's what we're called to do. I begin to think about this. Like, God, how do we begin to apply this? It's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy to worry about my feelings And if I'm right, it's pretty simple, really. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the first step is asking Jesus Christ into your life. And I know some of you have been wrestling with that. And some of you wonder what that's all about, how much you have to know. All you have to know is this little part, that you are a sinner. Man, I had that one down pat. Nobody had told me I was a sinner. I'm like, guilty. And next, please. That Jesus died and rose again for my sin. And the lights have come on for many of you. And you're worried about what you've got to give up, what you don't know, what you don't, you know, you're worried about everything after. And just stop all that. Do you know that you need Jesus? Yes. Do you believe he died and rose again? Yes. Then right there in that moment, just say, God, save me. God, come into my life. And as soon as you do, you're going to be a part of God's family. You're going to be a part of God's people. And the secret is revealed. God wants to do his work by his power. You know why he wants to do it by his power? So he gets all the glory. He don't want a pastor getting the glory. He don't want an organization getting the glory. He wants us to feel fulfilled in our jobs and our roles and our ministries. He wants us to feel like we're making a difference. But ultimately, he gives the increase. He gets the glory. But he chooses to use us. So I begin to wonder, how can we apply this personally? And applying this, how do you apply it at your job? How do you apply it at your job? When you've got a world that God's operating you in, and you've got a job and you've got passions, I mean, you're maybe around soccer moms or you're around a swimming team. What is your world? How can you impact that for Jesus Christ? Some of you, God's given a major burden to help the down and out and the hurting, and God bless you as you do that. You've got a home base to bring them here, and they will always be loved at Life Point in a gathering. And we will always stand with you as you reach your world for Jesus Christ. And they will always, no matter who it is, be welcome here. And hopefully we always have an environment where people can discover Christ. That's my prayer. Maybe at the office you pray for a need. Maybe you just meet a need that you've heard about. You know, I hear people all the time, hey man, what you got anything for me to do? Look around. Do you see something I don't? Yeah, then do that. Do you see a need that needs met? Yeah. Meet it at your job, here, wherever, at Target, at Starbucks, wherever you hang out. Share your story. Your story's powerful. We're going to see this in a few weeks. It's powerful. Maybe bring some treats. And nobody gets along at your workplace. Nobody gathers in the break room. They're always on. They always got their headphones in. Food brings people together. You may not be able to teach the Bible, but if you can bake, throw some cookies out. Oh, yeah. Susie brought cookies. Really? Susie, thanks for bringing cookies. You're welcome. Man, why would you bring cookies? I can't preach. I can't sing. I wanted to show God's love. I wanted to start some conversations. I wanted you to know that somebody cares what goes on in people's lives. And the only way I knew to do that was bake cookies. How can you begin to get the message out? What needs can you meet? You know, you being God, one of the things I found in eating out every day is part of my ministry, I'm so thankful early on in Life Point, our leader said, even when times were uber tough, I said, man, let's cut that part of the budget out. They said, no way. We got to have you out there connecting with people. We got to have you doing it. One of the things I found is that Christians don't tip. Servers and managers hate Sundays. So always try to be a good tipper. Always try to be kind. Unless it's like a leather shoe, I don't send stuff back. I don't like spit on my food. You know, I'm a smart guy. How can you be Jesus? This has changed my life. And I know this. As soon as you get someone over the line of faith, by doing God's work through God's power, it's going to create an addiction in you for Christ like you've never had. When you see that the big plan is not to feel something, not for you to be like someone else or to dress like someone else, or just your own needs, faith is going to be real to you. your life is going to change. And so on Super Bowl Sunday, God's big plan is to do God's work by God's power, through God's people. 120 people said, yes, sir. This many people in this room said yes. And God multiplied that within the first few days. They said, we're going to go be Jesus and do God's work. They began to reach out to the people they know and tell the message to the people they knew. They didn't worry about their gift mix. They had never taken a gift test or a discipleship class. They just know that Jesus had done something and they thought he could maybe do that for somebody else. Then the first week it became 3,120. A few chapters later, it's 8,120. Now hundreds of thousands and really billions of people later, here we sit. Because 120 people said, we're going to do God's work by God's power, and we're going to be the people that he does it through. And there was all kinds of people back then that were demon-possessed and addicted to sexuality, addicted to substance, not the stuff we have, but they were addicted as the Roman Empire. And God saved them and delivered them and used them. And just because we don't wear robes and say thee and thou, he can do the same for us. Let's pray together.